Deuteronomy chapter 20. Deuteronomy chapter 20. We're going to read from verse 1. My sermon is entitled this morning, Faith is Not for the Faint-Hearted. Faith is not for the faint-hearted. Deuteronomy 20, verse 1. And I know, guys, when we talk about faith and faith is not for the faint-hearted, I know what we all think. Like right now, all I want to think is of a holiday. Don't talk about faith. Don't challenge me this morning. Don't go that way. The aeroplane, the wheels are out. I'm about to land. The year is at the end. And I found it appropriate this morning just to leave you with a seat this morning. Even so, fine, relax, but spend time with the Lord during this time. And I trust that during this time as well, that the Lord will plant seeds of faith inside of you for 2014. I'm just prompting you this morning for what's coming for next year and where God wants to take you and all the great things about to happen. But faith is not for the faint-hearted. Deuteronomy 20 verse 1 says, "And when you go out to the battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. So it shall be when you are on the verge of battle that the priest shall approach and speak to the people. And he shall say to them, 'Hear, O Israel, today you are on the verge of battle with your enemies. Do not let your heart faint. Do not be afraid and do not tremble or be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you.' Then the officers shall speak to the people, saying, 'What man is there who has built a new house and has not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man dedicate it. Also, what man is there who has planted the vineyard and has not eaten of it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die and in the battle and another man eats of it.'" And then we talk about Peter Allen. "What man is there who is betrothed to a woman and has not married her, but he's married this morning, and we've been at a wonderful wedding yesterday. Let him go and return to his house, and lest he die in the battle and another man marry her. The officers shall speak further to the people," listen to this, "and say, 'What man is there who is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return to his house, lest the heart of his brethren faint like his heart.'" And we'll just read up to there. "Lest the heart of his brethren faint like his heart." That's just so contagious when fear comes in, or that bad report. And God knew exactly when they're going to battle. They got to check them out. Make sure when you're out there, I cannot allow to have ones that hasn't got faith or afraid, because it's contagious. You got to separate them. Rather go home, enjoy the time at home, and when you're ready, when you're fit enough, come out and let's go for battle. And I think, departing here from this morning, many of us, we try and sign up for risk-free Christianity. We want the perks. Why I want you this morning to help me preach. We come to Christ with certain ideas. I come actually empty, or supposed to, but we also come empty to church because we're waiting. What's happening at church? And you can see I've got girls, this pink in the family. You are a little bit of blue for me in this. We think church is a nice picnic. I like this because we can come and be blessed. What have you brought to me, Pastor, this morning? That's it. That's yours. We're going to have a picnic. Saki, you want to join us for church this morning? That's yours. We're going to have a nice time this morning in church. I kept the Coke for myself. Open yours. We're going to have such a nice time in church this morning. Church. There's more to church. There's knickknacks as well. Church was so good this morning, eh? Thank you, Saki. I can't. And there's even more, but I won't go with that because then I can't smile, right? But you can have it. And we have church all the time, every Sunday. I was church on Sunday. I won't sit that too long because I know you can't see me. Oh, brother, I was so blessed. Oh, by the presence of the Lord. I was church.
Good.
Next week is the same thing. Oh, it was good. We were blessed by the presence of the Lord. But what did the Lord say to you last week? No, it's good. It's presence. I like the presence. And we get all this, when we get charismatic, we even go a little bit a step further and we fall down and we lie there for half an hour holy and we're in the presence of the Lord. And then we get up and we want the same experience again. But nothing happened in between. We just come for the, that's lekker. I want the perks. I want the house. I want the car. I want all of that. This week I was, it's just so interesting. I'm in town and it's not relevant this morning, but one of the churches have a local outreach, and I can see myself there because I've been there. And there's a group of youngsters, they're reaching out in town, and now I'm in due south, and I'm my wife, we're just walking around there. I'm actually on the bank holiday, and we're just there. And so I hear this conversation these youngsters have with this salesman. They're trying to lead him to Christ, but he's a green apple. He's not a red apple. What I'm trying to say, he's not ready. And I sense it, but I thought, God bless them for their enthusiasm. At least they've got the fire. But anyway, now they're going and they're discussing, and I hear it, and I'm just on purpose taking a little bit longer. I just want to listen to this whole thing. Anyway, so now they're trying to get into that place to pray, that sinner's prayer, so that we all can say, yo, I prayed that prayer, man. I led somebody to Christ. But anyway, this guy doesn't want to budge. No, no. I said, no, I don't want. And then she pulls the last card. And I'm standing there. She says, but don't you want to be rich? God can make you rich. And I think, God, that's what we often try and do in the church. We try and entice sinners with your blessings. God can make you rich. That's what she said. I'll pray for you now that he will make you rich. I almost thought, I'll take that prayer. But I thought I'll be. But I thought that would be maybe not good at that moment. Bless them, Lord, because at the moment I could see myself, you're so desperate. But that's not wise at any time, And I think, many times we have this idea about church, about Christianity. And we want to sign up for it, but we don't know the full picture of it. We're here for the picnic. We're here for the cool drink. But people refuse to tell you that there's hard times coming. I said to Peter Allen and Natasha yesterday at the wedding, guys, your marriage is bound to fail. It's bound to fail. And then people sometimes, you say hard words these. I say, yes, but with Jesus, that's possible. I want to say to you this morning, the same as church, Christianity is not always nice. Sometimes it challenges us to move out in faith. And I can tell you, it's possible to come to church, have the picnic, do the nice thing, expect somebody to bless you, to get the cool drink, never bring something to the table. That's possible. And you can have a fairly or jolly good time for the whole time. But the trophy will never hang on your wall. Because you've not been to battle. You've not moved out in faith. You've never allowed the Lord or never stepped out at a place of comfort to a place where I need to trust God. A.W. Tozer said, the Bible doesn't recognizes no faith that does not lead to obedience, nor does it recognize any obedience that does not spring from faith. And there are two opposites of the same coin. First of all, faith. Just three thoughts I want to share this morning. Faith requires clear vision. In order for me to move, I need to know where I want to go. And God is so faithful in giving us those seeds. Abram, go to a place where I shall tell you. Just move. So Abram needs to pack his bag. He doesn't know where he's going, but I'm just going. That's so often so true to us, We want to know, first of all, can I get the GPS first? What's the coordinates? Lord, is there a spare? Is there enough fuel in the tank, Lord? And what if this happens? And is there somewhere I can overnight? How long is the journey? All of that. Oh, God says, move. 2014, some of you will be challenged to move out in faith in areas of your life, that in terrains that you've never seen before. And you've got the choice. It wouldn't make you not a Christian. It's just to get to that place of say, God, I want to move where you move. Deuteronomy 20 verse 1 says, when you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous. Guys, we don't do battle like they did back at that time. We sit here and they bomb you many 100 kilometers away from here. They were seeing one another face to face. And imagine for yourself, you a few people, and there's thousands running to you. And the Lord said, when they're more numerous to you, than you, don't be afraid. Because I'm with you. And we think sometimes God was in person like we. He was just as with us today. He just gave them the word and said, I'm with you. Move! And then he says, separate those that are afraid. Because they will affect others. Wolf, if you want to sit with your wife, you're welcome. Sorry, thank you. I know, it doesn't look good. I can see it in his face. Thank you. You see, faith is not an ignorance of reality. It's not acting like an ostrich. It's seeing the reality, but not allowing that to affect your heart. Just to see God. We know the story in Numbers. When Moses sent the 12 spies into the promised land. You've heard that story many times. 10 come back with the bad report. 2 come back with a good report. 16%. Now this is the thing. The same principle. The Bible says in Numbers 14, I believe. He says, those two that came back with a bad report, they saw the giants, they saw the, oh, we like grasshoppers in their sight. They came back with that bad report, and they spread the bad report. Numbers 14:1, I think this is where he shares it. And then everybody became negative. That's why God knew. Those ones who are faint-hearted, separate them because they will affect the rest. 16% went into the promise, or 100% went into the promised land to spy. 16% came back with a good report. Then they spread the news, and it goes even worse. 0.0001% entered into the promised land. Only those two. The Bible says the rest died because they were not willing to move out in faith. They rather looked at the circumstances and everything around. Oh, this is just, are you challenging us too much? But there's something when you conquer the promised land and you eat of the fruit of the promised land that nobody else can share with, or what you cannot describe. That victory in faith. When God asks you to move out in faith and you know that you are not qualified, you are not able yet. When you reach that place, when you conquer, it's by His grace alone, and you can alone give Him the glory. But you and me are allowed to share in that, in the taste of that, although we don't get the glory. It's just, God, thank you. Thank you that I was just obedient. I want to move quickly because I want to move to the third. I want to spend a little bit more time to the third one. You know, there are men like Caleb. Numbers 14:24 says, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit, I like it in him, and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. I want to say to you this morning, surround you with people that's got a conquering spirit. That say it's possible, but I can do all things for Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Do not allow those people that spread the bad report to affect you, to hang too much around them. Sometimes when God gives you a dream and you got to trust Him for that, you got to separate yourself. I said it to my wife the other day. I got to separate myself sometimes because when people say those things, you start believing those things. And you got to hang into that word of God and say, God, I'm just going to hang in there till I see that you're going to bring it to fulfillment. Deuteronomy 20, verse 5 to 7, when he talks about the house, the vineyard, and the woman, it's all about our focus. Let our focus be on God alone. Let us have a clear vision of where we're going. If you're too much occupied with the wife, with the house, and I'm just, this is metaphorically speaking here this morning, then we cannot reach that place. They tell the story of a little boy. One night, the house caught a fire. And, he was forced to flee to the roof. And his dad, he could leave in time, but he was down outside the house. And his father could see the boy, but the boy couldn't see his father because there was just smoke everywhere. And his dad shouted to him. He said, "Jump! I will catch you." And the little boy looked around and couldn't see his dad. He said, "But father, I cannot see you." He said, "Jump, I'll catch you." He said, "I can't see you." And then his dad said, "But I can see you. And that's all that matters." Sometimes God says the same to us. Jump, "But God, I can't see you. But I can see you. I'll catch you." You just got to trust that he's faithful. He is who he is. He is the I am. Faith will cost you. Point two. And I'm going to talk about that actually this morning. I wanted the third point I'll give it to you. Faith involves risks, involves risk. But I want to talk about faith will cost you. It's normally the other way around, but specifically I want to do faith will cost you. Luke 9, let me just quickly go there. If you want to turn with me, but I think I might be there before you. Luke 9, verse 57 says this. "Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, 'Lord, I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' Then he said to another, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my father.' Jesus said to him, 'Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God.' And another also said, 'Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house.' And then Jesus said, 'No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God.'" The moment our vision becomes blurred and we add the buts, "Let me just first, but Lord, let me just," God says you're not fit for the kingdom. That doesn't mean you're not in the kingdom. It's just that you cannot conquer and you get to that place where Him and Him alone, where everything is about Him and Him alone. We know when we go to battle, you don't send your weakest troops to the front line. What will happen? And I'm not breaking anybody down this morning. I'm just encouraging us to become fit for the kingdom. And to become fit for the kingdom, we got to move out in faith continuously. Because Hebrews 11 says that God is pleased by that. Then when we move out in faith, any time when we're not in faith, we're at a complacent place. We're at a picnic place. There must continuously be in our lives a place where you trust God to move. Where you know in your own strength, I cannot. God, if you're not coming through, we're not making it. It's not possible. We shared it this week. I discussed it last week. There's one of those, with my wife, there's one of those moments where you just know that you know, God, if you're not coming through. I know sometimes God doesn't come through according to our plan, and we're getting there. You see, we read over scriptures like these, Matthew 22:14, that's talking about that many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. And, you know, we try and fit or make Christianity something that's comfortable for me, where I can come, do the thing, never be challenged in faith, never walk out to that place, kind of hide somewhere. We've got this game that we play, my girls, every morning, quite often. When they wake up, they would come to our room, and then by that time, I'm already downstairs. And as soon as I'm coming back, they hear me, they hear my footsteps, and they would start hiding underneath the duvet. And then I know what they want to do. We got to play. So where are you? Where are you, Alexandra? Where is Isabella? Then you hear the giggle. And then you pretend you don't know. And then you lift the duvet. And we know. And then they play the whole thing over again. Where are you? You hear the giggle. Adam, where are you? Oh God, I'm away. We play that so nice. With God. We think we can do that with God as well. I'm thinking when I'm looking at my little girls, they're just so pure. They just want to play, but Some deep in there is a message for us. We are very good at hiding, often. Come and search me. I'm here in the crowd. I go to church. But don't challenge me with faith. Don't take me down that road. And we're good. And then the game is over a long time ago, but we still hide. And God wants to call you this morning. Adam, where are you this morning? Are you willing to move out? Are you willing to pay the price to move out in faith? Because it pleases God. Hudson Taylor was one of those missionaries that did remarkable things in China. And on his way there, many years ago, they were on a ship. Back then it wasn't diesel generated, or it was with sails that trust for wind. Anyway, so they were on their way down there. And when they came near the Southern Malay Peninsula, an island of Sumatra, basically what happened is there wasn't enough wind. But he was downstairs, the same thing, always with Jesus, almost like with Jesus. Jesus slept, the Bible says. But anyway, Hudson was downstairs, and the captain came down, and he knocked on the door, and he said, "Mr. Taylor, I understand that you're a man of God. We have a problem here. There's no wind, and we're drifting towards that island that's possibly filled with cannibals. Can you please pray for wind?" And Hudson Taylor went to his knees. The captain went upstairs. Oh, sorry. Hudson Taylor said, "Well, lower the sails. Let the sails go down." And he said, "But there's no wind. Why do we have to release that?" He said, "No, do that." And then he went on his knees. The captain went up and he started praying. And after 45 minutes, the captain came down. He said, "Mr. Taylor, you can stop praying now. We've got more than enough wind." Yeah. But that's the thing, you know, we pray for the rain, but we don't take our umbrella. Last weekend, we went to Korihasa. My girls, you know, they moved out in faith. Daddy didn't have the umbrella, so we were wet. And they believed that we're going to have rain, so they both have their umbrellas there. And it's the first time we're having a braai in Namibia under umbrella. You know, that's the kind of thing I did in England, not here. But we want to pray to God. God, send us the rain, but we never prepare the room. We never take the umbrella with us. There's not a corresponding action, because just maybe if you come through, that will be good. But then at least I didn't have an expectation, so at least I'm not disappointed. That's the safe option. But God is pleased by the way we move, if He can see in our hearts, if we're willing to. And the last one this morning, faith involves risk. If you can turn with me. I want to stand still for a few moments here. Daniel 3. Daniel 3. Well-known story. Been in the church long enough, you'll know this. Nebuchadnezzar, the king. At this time, Daniel and his three friends, they were taken to Babylon. Babylon at that stage was at the height of its political, or this king at the height of his political career. They conquered the land. They brought these Jewish boys back to indoctrinate them. I know that it goes from verse 1. It says, "Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and its width 60 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Jura in the province of Babylon." 60 cubits is about roughly 90 feet. 90 feet high, 9 feet wide. Talk about somebody compensating for something. Can you imagine putting a statue up of yourself 90 feet high, 9 feet wide, worship this thing? He must have compensated. This guy had some problems, big time. Anyway, and these boys are in Babylon, but they didn't allow Babylon to get into them as they're there. I like it. Let's pick up from verse 5 there. "And then at the time you hear the sound..." Well, let's go to 4, sorry. "Then a herald cried aloud to you, it's commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony, with all the kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Let's just stop there for a moment. What do we have in common with these three young boys? probably at this moment, I don't know, in future, we won't be thrown in fire. I don't know what's lying ahead. At this moment, we haven't got a situation where we're persecuted, where we will be thrown into the fire. But the music is still playing. Well, let's stop there for a moment. I want you to turn to somebody quickly. Tell them your most favorite kind of music, and then also your least favorite, the one that would make you run away. If it's country music, or if is it Buddha music, or is it rock, or is it pop? Quickly, just where you are. Just tell the person next to you, most favorite. Right. Can I see? Get some answers here. You don't have to tell. Whose favorite? Tell me some of the most favorite. Can I ask the answer? Now you're shy to say, aye? Classical. I've got classical, yo. More favorite ones? Other ones?
Christian.
Christian music. Okay, that's the right answer for the church this morning. Okay. Now I know. I'm joking. I don't. Because if I say mine, then they'll think, oh, yo. Anyway. Least? Rock, jazz,
heavy metal.
Anyway, it's different for all of us this morning, and that's good. We all have different tastes, but coming back to this morning, that the music is still playing. And when you hear the sound of the music, you shall fall down to your knees and worship that idol. And I'm switching over to metaphorically now. Devil knows your music so well. He knows what kind of music to play that will cause you to bow your knee to the idol. For some of us, for the men, sometimes late at night, you're in front of that computer, you're alone, and you play the right music for you to give in to your sexual drive. For some of us that's struggling with this, you're just at the right party, the right music is playing, and I'm struggling with that. And the music is playing, and I bow down to my idol. Some of the ladies, we want so much that attention or that approval. It will go to any lens, and the devil will play the music. He knows you so well. He knows me so well. He knows my weaknesses. He studied me. He studied you. And if you don't know it, he knows it. And believe you me, he will play the music to get you to that place where you bow down to your idol. What's your idol this morning? You see, your idol is anything that looms larger than the Lord. You probably don't have that statue in your backyard, 90 feet high and 9 feet wide, because then you'll be weird. Anyway, but we don't do idols like that anymore nowadays. It's all up here sometimes. It's what we said. We've said a lot about idols. We know those things. What is your idol this morning? You see, we got to know our music. We got to know, because he knows it. And if I'm not careful, that will cause me to compromise and reach the place that God has called me to reach in faith. If that music plays. These young boys, I like them. I love it the way. Look at it. Look at the reaction. Let me see, where is that? They're called to when the music plays, that they get to bow. Verse 8 says, therefore at that time certain Chaldeans came forward and said, accused the Jews, sorry. They spoke and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image. And there are certain Jews, verse 12, that didn't do it. And then Nebuchadnezzar, verse 13, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. And then verse 14 says this. So Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? And then he goes on in verse 15, saying, Now, verse 16. Look at the way they address him. They say to him, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, they recognize this evil king. They recognize that this king wants them to bow down. They didn't allow Babylon to get into them. We have no need to answer you in this matter, because our God is our God. They knew who they are on God. They knew where they were going. They were moving in faith. I want to say old school faith that doesn't give in to this to the situation around, to the political situation, to the current structure. That's the kind of faith God wants us to have. That's not willing, that's not willing to bend. If that is the case, listen to this. I love it. If that is the case, our God whom we serve, this is going to preach itself. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. Verse 18. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. God calls us, he gives us the vision. And I want to say to you, sometimes there's an if-not situation. We don't know. But God, my faith is not based upon your response, but it's based upon your character. Because if not, if you're not coming through, I'm not down, God. Because I know you answer differently. My faith will not be based upon your response, but based upon your character, that you are a good God. And we know the story about how God came through. And we tell this story in church so many times. We, going back to the beginning, we want people to believe all the nice things and life is going to be a nice time and church and it's all of that. But I want to say to you, there's if not situation sometimes. When the things doesn't work out as we plan it to be, we need to stop praying for a God that will keep us from the fire, or for a faith that will keep us from a fire, and rather embrace a God that's with us in the fire. Because sometimes God will use that fire not to destroy you and me, but to demonstrate his power towards you and me. We have this king, Nebuchadnezzar. He's heating up this furnace. But God provides the wood. He's behind us all. Nebuchadnezzar is just paying for the heating bill. Because God knew he's going to see his boys through this whole thing. He's going to take them through that. And God knows exactly where he's taking us. There's risk involved. It might cost you something. But my friend, my brother, my sister, if God has called you to walk through the fire, embrace him, because he's with you in the fire. Do not always pray to stay away from the fire. Just sit on the side where there's no fire, where it's nice. Because on the other side, the music would be playing. Because when you go through the fire, God purifies us. Otherwise, we'll always listen to that music some another time. In closure this morning, one more thought I want to share with you. I realized it only this week that Nebuchadnezzar, I never saw it like that. Verse 26. Sorry, let me one more thing I want to say. Verse 26 before I close. Can I have some music here? Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. I want to say to you, in times like in the fire, fiery times, when the fire burns, when you and me are firmly connected to Jesus Christ, even the most ungodless or godless person that will see your God, my God, is the Most High God. If we remain firmly connected in faith during those times when we're in the fire, then we allow people to see that our God is the Most High God. And in closing this morning, I saw this week, you know, that Nebuchadnezzar never asked them to bow down to that image instead of to Jesus. Listen to this very carefully. He never asked them to bow to his image instead of to their God. He asked them to bow down in addition to their God. And it's not that we have the idol at home or the statue. It's just this little add-on. Jesus and. Anytime you and me turn to anything else than Jesus alone for our satisfaction, for our pleasure, for our fulfillment, then we're actually bowing our knee. And in order for us to turn towards something, we got to turn our back towards something. You cannot move away. You cannot turn your back or at the same time be at both places. If you choose this morning, say, God, I want to move out in faith. I want to turn my back in those moments. I want to turn my back on that. You got to turn. You cannot in addition. You cannot Jesus and. Let's close our eyes this morning. It's Him and Him alone. Nobody's looking around. It's just God, you and me here this morning. And maybe you're sitting here this morning and you recognize that you've not moved to that place. Maybe you're still here at this moment. Your back is still turned towards Jesus. And this morning you want to turn your back to the world. You want to turn your back towards that and say, God, I turn my face towards you and you alone. Nobody's looking around. If you need that prayer and say, Jaco, I just want you to pray. I'm not going to call you to the front. I promise you. I'm just going to pray with you. I want you, nobody looking around, just say, I need that prayer. I need to turn my back to the world and I need to turn towards Jesus this morning. I recognize those idols. I recognize, I hear that music playing. I know that I got to do that this morning. It's God that's talking to me. Nobody's looking around. If you can just give me an indication where you're on the seat, just raise your hand quickly. Father, thank you. Thank you. Father, thank you for that purification work that you're doing. Some of you, you're sitting here this morning and you've got so many promises of God. Hudson Taylor, as he was at a very trying time in China at that moment after he arrived and he wrote this letter, he said to her, we have 25 cents and all the promises of God. Some of you feel like you've got 25 cents. But I want to remind you this morning, you've got all the promises of God this morning to move out in faith. Every eye closed right now. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, that this morning as we turn our backs towards those idols, Lord, that you give us grace, Lord. Lord, will you give us grace, Lord, to continue this walk, Lord, that we will become fit for your kingdom. Fit, Lord, and able, Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you identify those music that's playing, Lord. Our music, Lord, that sometimes playing, Lord, that will cause us to bow down. This morning, Father, we pray, Lord, for a dislike in that. Father, we pray for identification in that this morning. I pray, Lord, that as you open our eyes to that music, Lord, that we will not listen to that anymore and bow down. And Father, for some of us this morning, where we feel like we have 25 cents and that's all we have, but Lord, we reach in Christ this morning with your promises. We reach and we want to reactivate that this morning, Lord, as we go back to that, Lord. We know, Lord, that it's always been there. We know, Lord, that we could always draw from that source. We can go back to that place and remind us of your word, Lord, and of every promise, Lord. And this morning, as we are about to finish 2013, but we're about to enter in 2014, God, we remind us of those promises, Lord, and we want to seek those places, those high places where you called us to occupy those places, to conquer that land, Lord. Father, I thank you, Father, that we will not be faint-hearted people, but Lord, people that's willing to move out in faith, not being afraid of the enemy and how much or how many there are. But our God is with us this morning, and He that's in us is greater than He that's in the world. I pray for every person here this morning, Lord. Let there be a warrior spirit, a conquering spirit, Lord, in every person here this morning. Lord, as we conquer, as your kingdom comes, and may 2014 be a year, Lord, where, oh God, where your kingdom continue to advance, Lord. And Father, we are just some small part in that, Lord, where we just have the privilege to be part of that, and we thank you for that, Lord. But I thank you for people that are filled with faith this morning, not willing to compromise, not willing to back down, because our God is the Most High God. Amen. Amen.